Second Peter, chapter 1. At the conclusion of this morning sermon, as we dismiss to go back into the mainstreams of the lives that are around us, you will be given a handout. Doesn't matter whether you get a pink or blue one, they are not color-coded according to your gender, okay? So do not feel that you have been slighted if you're a male and get a pink one, or we're trying to say something to you if you're a female and get a blue one. Those are the papers and the colors that I had, and that's the way they came out of the printer. But please avail yourself of that. It's a poem that was written by a special friend of Barstow's. She has an incredible gift in ministering God's heart in poetry. For the past several weeks, we have been engaged in learning the intricacies of Peter's prescription for stability in the Christian walk. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, if we practice these things, if these things are in us and they are abounding, it will cause us to never, ever stumble. An incredible promise. And we learn that in order to manifest that promised stability, we must add to our faith moral excellence. And then we must add to moral excellence knowledge. And to knowledge, we add self-control. Now, each of those three are dependent on this next additive that we're going to be talking about this morning. They are dependent in order for them to be able to do their work in producing the desired result. This next virtue, this next quality, must also be present and abounding. In other words, we are not permitted to skip some of these things. If we only take 6 out of the 7, then we'll be 6/7 stable in our Christian walk, right? Wrong. There is no promise for stability if we don't take the whole prescription. Now, as you are no doubt aware, one of the present popular lettered statements of Christian speech that you see on people's ties or on lapel pins or on wristbands or on license plates or wherever is WWJD. Have you seen those letters? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's the modern day popular thing that is going through the Christian world. But a number of years ago, Christians were wearing pins with the letters P, B, P, G, I, F, W, M, Y. And people would look at those things and automatically say, what in the world does that mean? And the person would have an opportunity to say to them, please be patient. God isn't through with me yet. Please be patient. God isn't through with me yet. And we're probably all familiar with the verse from Scripture, Romans 5:3, that says, tribulation works patience. And I stated last week that self-control was where Christians seemed to get hung up in being able to produce this prescription in their Christian walk. But in retrospect, it appears that this one, the one we're looking at this morning, is the one that produces the most dropouts. Add to your self-control patience. Patience. No thanks. This is where I get off. Well, think again. Because tribulation is going to come. Whether you exercise in that tribulation, patience or not, the tribulation is going to come. It's going to come regardless. So we may as well deal with it in the manner prescribed by God in order to derive the most benefit from it. Because guess what? If we don't, it's going to come around again. And it'll keep coming around, maybe in different disguises, but the lesson being the same, it's going to keep coming around until we learn the lesson in that particular time of tribulation. So the tribulation, one of the things it's supposed to do is to produce patience. Thomas A. Kempis, a great Christian of years gone by, made this statement, and I quote, "He is not truly patient who will suffer only as much as he pleases or from whom he pleases. A truly patient man gives no heed from whom he suffers, whether from his superior or from his equal or from someone below him." End quote. In other words, you won't care what the source is. You will come to realize that there's something to be learned. So we need to embrace tribulation and endure it, much like the oyster does that irritant of a grain of sand. In time, something unique and truly beautiful is produced. Listen to this poem. "There once was an oyster, whose story I tell, who found that the sand had got under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse out the government, call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled by, as the years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. And this small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral. For isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if we'd only begin with all of the things that get under our skin? What couldn't God do if we truly yielded to him in that time of tribulation, in that time of irritation, and said, Lord, work this out for your glory. Make this a pearl that will bring glory to your name. Add to your self-control patience. Now, I don't have an author to attribute this next statement to, but I quote, "A pearl is a garment of patience that enclosed an annoyance." Isn't that beautiful? A garment of patience that enclosed an annoyance. Add to your self-control patience. Now, some of your translations use the word endurance instead of patience. Others, perseverance. The Greek word that these words come from is the Greek combination of two words, hupomeno. Hupomeno, and it means to abide under. So the word is not only telling us what to do, it's telling us where we are to do it. What we are to do, this word tells us, is abide. Now, abiding carries with it the idea of constancy, continuance. Constancy is faithfulness to a person, a cause, obligation, or duty. This is probably one of my greatest grievances with other Christians. One of the greatest problems to surmount in a Christian church is the lack of constancy amongst God's people. When Jesus told his disciples, abide in me, and I in you, he was not telling them to do it for just an hour a week. You agree with that? He was not just telling them to do it for a few weeks. The word carries with it the idea of sticking with it, of staying for the duration. 8 times in 4 verses in the Gospel of John, he speaks to them about the importance of abiding. That word, abiding, meno, means to stay in a given place, to stay in a given state, to stay in relation or expectancy, to stay. One of my frustrations with my dog, and I've got a very obedient dog, I say to him, sit. In fact, all I have to do is point, and he sits. And then I can snap my fingers and point again, and he'll lay down. And I can whistle, and he'll come. But when I say stay, and I walk away, I look behind, there he is. He isn't staying. He wants to follow me. The word abide means stay. And when it's talking about abiding in Christ, Jesus is saying, stay in me. Don't go out there into the world seeking for other forms of entertainment or other forms of things that are going to bring you satisfaction. Stay in me. Now, Henry Ward Beecher, who lived from 1813 to 1887, made this statement. He said, there's no such thing as preaching patience into people. You hear that? No matter how much I preach today, I can't preach patience into you. He goes on to say, unless the sermon is so long that they have to practice it while they hear. No man can learn patience except by going out into the hurly-burly world and taking life just as it blows. Patience is riding out the gale. End quote. Our word for patience or endurance, hupomeno, tells us not only what we are to do, but it also tells us where we are to do it. It says, abide under. Abide under. What that means is to abide under the situation. Abide under the circumstance. And an amazing thing happens. When a circumstance or a situation comes our way that we don't really like, we don't want to really have to do with it, you know what we're doing? Everything in our power to get out from underneath it. I need to get out from under this. No, Jesus said you need to ride it out. You need to abide under it until it has fulfilled what my purpose is in sending it to you. So hupo means under. Meno means abide. Now we are not speaking of the things that happen to us because of sin, the things that happen to us because of bad habits or of our own doing. But those circumstances that are beyond our control, both in their initial appearance and their final departure. You don't say when it comes and you can't say when it goes. Now that is not to say that we can't get out from under them. Sometimes it's within our capabilities to do so, but it might not be within our best interest to do so. For example, there may be an employer that we are having a difficult time with, and so we determine to quit. I don't have to take being treated like that, we say to ourselves. And before long, we find ourselves moving from job to job, wondering what is wrong with all of these companies that they hire jerks and then they elevate them to being somebody's boss. But beloved, in those type of circumstances, we are to remain under them like a student to a teacher. There's something to be learned or a character trait that needs to be built that can only come by constancy under that particular teaching medium. We are to remain under until God gives us permission to leave or the circumstances removed. How many times when we have switched jobs, changed churches, moved to other communities, how many times have we done so after truly seeking the face of the Lord. Is this what you want me to do? I only want to go where you want me to go. I only want to be where you want me to be. I only want to do what you want me to do. You see, that's what made Jesus unique. He never went anywhere without his Father. So, our circumstances may be an illness, an irritant, a relative, or something that's seemingly irrelevant. But we can't go wrong asking God about it. But if we don't ask God about it, we in all probability will go wrong. Did you know that over your lifetime, the average amount of time that you spend at a stoplight is 6 months? That's a long light. I think I was stopped at that light in Prescott Valley one time. For some of us, that 6 months of saying, come on, come on, come on. 6 months of fuming. And then the guy in front of you plays nice guy. And lets someone in front of him. And the two of them just manage to get through the light before it changes again. And you've got 6 more months. I think you can tell this is the voice of experience speaking. The U.S. Department of Transportation says that the annual cost of running red lights in medical bills and car repairs is over $7 billion. They also state that the average time saved by running a red light is 50 seconds. Nuh-uh, it's 6 months. The man responsible for the completion of the Panama Canal had incredible difficulties. He had big problems with the climate and bigger problems with the geography. But his biggest challenge was the growing criticism back home from those who predicted he'd never finish the project. Finally, a colleague asked him, "Aren't you going to answer those critics?" "In time," he replied. "When?" the partner asked. "When the canal was finished." See, beloved people, the best way to answer your critics is to finish out what God has got you involved in. And the pearl that is produced will answer it all. You won't have to say a word. Your life will manifest a new stability in the midst of crisis. Add to your self-control patience. Sometimes we quit too soon. We give up too easily. And as a result, we don't reap the benefits that are intended. And what we get is a bitter fruit. A man once brought a home with a tree in the backyard. It was winter. Nothing marked this tree as different from any other tree. And when spring came, the tree grew leaves and tiny pink buds. How wonderful, thought the man. A flower tree. I will enjoy its beauty all summer. But before he had time to enjoy the flowers, the wind began to blow, and soon all the petals were strewn all over the yard. "What a mess," he said. "This tree isn't any use after all." The summer passed. And one day the man noticed that the tree was full of green fruit the size of large nuts. He picked a large one, and he took a bite. "Blah," he said. And he threw it on the ground. "What a horrible taste. This tree is worthless. Its flowers are so fragile. The wind blows them away, and its fruit is terrible and bitter. When winter comes, I'm cutting it down. But the tree took no notice of the man and continued to draw water from the ground and warmth from the sun, and in the late fall produced red, crisp apples. Some of us see Christians as with their early blossoms of happiness and think that they should be that way forever. Or we see bitterness in their lives and we're sure that they will never bear the better fruit of joy. Could it be that we forget some of the best fruit ripens late? Some of the best fruit ripens late. The best answer that we can give our critics, the best encouragement we can give ourselves, is that when it is done, we will come forth as gold. You know who said that? Job. He said, I know that when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. Add to your self-control patience. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In conclusion, let's try to look at it this way. God is the God of providence, right? You agree with that? And nothing happens to me that he's not aware of. In fact, Charles Swindoll, I believe it is the one that said, nothing comes into my life that hasn't first passed through the hand of God. You believe that? Now, the Bible says that we are to abide under those things. Is that your understanding of what we've been talking about this morning? Listen to this. Psalm 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you make the determination that you're going to live in patience in the things and the tribulations that God sends your way, you are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. You are in that secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High is the center of His will. At times, that center is in the fury of the storm, and at other times, it's the thrill of the mountaintop. But always, always, it's under the shadow of the Almighty.